Please remain standing and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. It's a short one this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, one verse, verse 5. Change from what we've been doing in places like 1 Samuel. There's one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This is God's word. Please give it your full attention. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You may be seated. When someone uses the words, "I am X, so please use X pronouns," the problem isn't really one of grammar. It's one of authority, although grammar-wise it is very annoying. The problem is also not that they've stopped listening to authority, in fact, or believing in authority, as much as they may say these things. The problem is that they place their ear upon their own chest, their own breast, and listen for the voice of God to speak to them. Inevitably, this inward voice of God, little g God, sounds like their desires. Or, to put it another way, this inward voice of God sounds oddly like the people that they like to listen to around them. Now, I bring this issue up, not because it's only for the people out there. And, haha, look at how ridiculous those people are. I bring this up rather because this has caused problems not only out there, but within the church. Today, because of this problem, quote-unquote, outside, many Christians have stopped placing their ears upon their own hearts. This horrible copy of self-examination we see in the world examines the self only to proclaim what it finds to be infallible Scripture. But because this is the type of self-examinations that Christians are often presented with, this feeling-type presentation, Christians have stopped self-examining. Or Christians go quite opposite of this, and they self-examine themselves into the ground, and they barely hear the voice of Christ anymore in the noise of their own sin. So this self-examination is quite a very important topic for today, and it's the text of the topic of our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, as Paul tells us, examine yourself. So, we are to examine ourselves, Paul commands us. But what is it to examine? And examine what? Examine if we are in the faith. This is the topic. Why? Because it's something that, as Matthew Henry tells us, we can be deceived in. We should, as Matthew Henry says, put the question to our own souls. Christians are not avoiders of hard questions. We are called to ask, well, we are in fact not only called, we are commanded by Paul here to ask and to answer difficult questions. So we ought to ask this question, am I in the faith? There are only two answers to this question. Either you are in the faith or you are out of the faith. Notice what this self-examination is not. It is not whether you are a good Christian. This question does not ask about the degrees of your faith, in other words. Does not ask if you're better than this or that person. This question does not ask you to compare your faith, in other words. Does not ask if you're as good as you think you should be at this point in your life. This question does not ask you about your own expectations. We ought to be encouraged. Paul does not ask these questions. He asks this simple question alone. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Only this question of yes or no. How are we to do this? First, we ought to go to the law. Without the law, we can understand nothing in Scripture. There is a reason that David says, "Reveal wondrous things to me out of your law." It's because of the law, because the law is the first place that Christians go when understanding his status before God. So how do we examine ourselves? Three things. First, examine yourselves in the law, which reveals our guilt. Why do we go to the law? The law is what everything will be judged upon in the last day. Even Jesus was judged by the law of God. When we see the law, we see truly, with true eyes. What does the law teach us? The law shows us what perfection looks like. Because the law shows us the character of God himself. It reflects his character. When we go to the law, we see what a perfectly just God requires of every human being, not just Christians. All men are required to keep the law of God, summarized by Jesus, as we heard this morning. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. If we fulfill these laws, then there are blessings. Life itself that is promised. If we break these laws, then there are curses, death in all its horror promised. We hear the law every Sunday morning, or at least we here at Christ Covenant do, and we accordingly confess our faults before the Lord every Lord's Day as well. But why do we hear the law each Lord's Day? Because it shows the character of God. It tells us of his will. It shows us how complete and entire our obedience must be to God. Our obedience must not be only in our acts, but in our heart and in our intentions. As Jesus says about the law, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. A perfect law is shown to us that we might see ourselves rightly as horrible lawbreakers. This is part of the point that Paul makes in Galatians. The law shows us the just demands of a just, perfect God toward every human, not just every Christian. But the law also shows us the just rewards of our obedience and disobedience. That is, obedience receives life, as God says in Deuteronomy 30:15. See, in this law, I have set before you today life. Our just rewards for disobedience, death. The wages of sin is death. That is, to summarize, we go to the law to not only know God, but to know ourselves in light of it. The law is God's perfect reflection of ourselves. And when looking at it, its perfect reflective surface, we see ourselves as we really are, just as a mirror does. We go to the law to self-examine just as much as we go to a mirror to examine our outfit in the morning. The law shows us who we are, and that is that we are sinners, and what we deserve from God, therefore, wrath. But after examining our hearts to the law, after looking at ourselves intently in a mirror, what do we do? Do we simply try to do better? Is that what the law is telling us to do? Is that what Paul is telling us to do here in 2 Corinthians? No, we ought to, second, this is what he says here, go to the cross of Christ. Second, examine your heart by looking to the cross, which reveals grace. Looking to Christ of the cross, which reveals grace. This is in our text here. One of the greatest parts of self-examination is not looking at yourself, but to Christ. I know that sounds strange, but this is what Paul says in verse 5. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? When we self-examine, we must remember that if we are in Christ, Christ dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. So we ought not just see ourselves in our actions, we ought to see Christ and see him at work in our actions. The cross of Christ is the place where Christians go during self-examination, because Christians who just examined their sins cannot possibly say before the cross of Christ, my sins are too great to be forgiven. How could we say before the living Christ, who said of his work, it is finished, that his sacrifice cannot save even the worst breakers of the law? No law breaking is too great for God to forgive in Christ. The cross of Christ, when we look inward and see Christ, is the place where Christians go during self-examination, because before the cross, Christians cannot possibly say, my sin does not matter to God. When Christ Jesus, our Lord, hangs bleeding in punishment for sin, we see that he loves us. Christ paid the penalty that sin deserves. Your sin matters to God. Your sins are grave, and the wages of sin is death. And we see this on the cross with Christ's death. We go to the cross and bring our individual sins to the Son of God, not because it's this action of going to the cross of Christ that causes our sins to be pardoned by God. By no means. It's not as if self-examination saves. No, if this is what we're doing, then we've lost the whole reason that we're self-examining in the first place. We're self-examining not to make ourselves loved by God. We're self-examining because we are loved by God. And we love God. God dwells in us, as Paul tells us here. We're self-examining to see if we're in the faith, which Christ alone gives us through his love. That faith which Christ not only purchased on the cross, but purchased for us and applied to us by his Holy Spirit. He sent for that purpose. We're self-examining to see the work of the Holy Spirit in us, or as Paul says, that Christ is in you. We do not self-examine to make God love us. We self-examine to see God's love in us. We do not self-examine to make God love us. We self-examine to see God's love working in us. Self-examination is something that is done, thirdly, in gratitude, because self-examination is a work done in faith that Christ has paid our guilt and has given us his grace. So third, examine your own conscience, which reveals our gratitude. Leaving our sins at the cross and seeing the pain of our Savior, we see sin for what it really is, hateful, as we saw it in the law as well. We see what we really are in Christ Jesus, valuable, dignified, holy sons of the Most High. So why self-examine at all? If this is the case, that is, if we are redeemed, what need have we to do this sometimes painful work? If we are not saved by it, do we need to do it? Can we just coast in our own justification? If we started self-examining because we expected that our hope for salvation lies somewhere in us, then we've got self-examination all wrong. The point of self-examination isn't self-justification or even confidence in self. Paul says, again, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Self-examination is intended to get our eyes on ourselves so that we can get them off of ourselves to Christ. We self-examine because self-examination forces us to look at ourselves, but only that we might be forced to look to Christ. We self-examine because we want to be like Christ in gratitude, thirdly. In gratitude, we look to Christ, then look back at ourselves and hope that we can be like him. So beautiful is Christ the Christian that we are not satisfied with our sinful, wart-filled, but justified, sinning visage, until we have seen the sinless, perfect, and holy Savior within ourselves. We look back to our image and live in gratitude of Christ, the image of God. Still, there is one other possibility in self-examination. What does it mean when Paul says, unless indeed you failed to meet the test? Can we fail this test? Yes, we can fail this test. We can look at our living, we can look at our work, and if we've made no progress in our sanctification, or if we have never intended to live a life which is upright and hates sin, then there is much to repent of. If we have never intended or have never repented, then John does not say for nothing in 1 John 2, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we do not live a life which reflects that God himself is living within us, that is, if we cannot find Christ living in our own breast, then we have reason to be fearful, according to Paul. But we ought also to listen to John when he continues and says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Sometimes sanctification takes time. The difference between us and the non-Christian is not that we do not sin or keep on sinning, but that we repent of our sin and God leads us into all righteousness. We do not make a practice of sin. It does not define us. It is not something we love. Because we are born of God, sin is beaten out of us. Not only by ourselves, but truly because of God's work in us. We are purified by God. If we hate our sin and love righteousness and take our sin to the cross, then we will find mercy and eternal forgiveness and love there. For this is the activity of grace, of faith in the heart. So, yes, we can fail the test, but sometimes our hearts condemn us. Failing the test ought to make us tremble and fear, but take heart, Christian. Failing the test does not make you infallibly a reprobate. It does not make you infallibly a sinner bound to hell. Take heart. If you have a tender heart to these things, Christ is greater than our heart and will infallibly encourage us that we might see we're in his grace. John says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. We trust in God and his declared righteousness in us, not in our works. We are justified in Christ through faith. As we close, John strongly urges us to strive not for that place where our heart condemns us, but to live in grateful confidence in the finished work of Christ. The Christian life is not the life which limps from one opinion of yourself to the next. The Christian life is the life which listens to Christ when he says that those who have faith in him, he says this, the Lord your God, who goes with you, he will not leave you or forsake you. And consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. John goes on from the heart which condemns itself to describe what's far better, a heart of confidence. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Let us live a life where our heart does not condemn us, that we might not fail the test of self-examination as we do this, as we are commanded to do so. Let us know ourselves well through the law, the mirror of the law, that we are indeed guilty. Daily repenting and believing upon Christ, turning from our image, from the law, to the cross for grace. And finally, live a life of gratitude and conform ourselves to the beauty of his image. Let us lift our ears off of our own chest and listen to Christ and the heart of Christ, who loves us for who he created us to be, even if we continue to sin, if we hate and repent of our sin as a Christian does. And let us hear from him in his heart what he has to say. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let us go to him in prayer. Our Lord, we thank you that as the law comes to bear itself upon us, as the weight of the law, heavy burdens, hard to bear, are placed upon us, we are able to look to Christ. We pray, Lord, that in our law keeping, that we would rejoice to be more and more like Christ. Not that we would look to the law as some burden which we must do in order to be saved, but looking unto Christ, looking unto the work of Christ within us, who'd see the blessing of self-examination. We pray, Lord, that we would do this in the right manner, that we would do it not looking to hear our infallible words from within, but that we might hear your word and examine ourselves by it. We ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in what we do on this earth. We pray that you would refine us, that you would clean us as through fuller soap, even if it may be difficult. Even if there may be difficult times, we pray, Lord, that you would bring us to that time where our hearts do not condemn us. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.